Steph dropped 56 last night. Anthony Edwards got ejected. AD is crumbling like the franchise he now plays for. And Luka is living it up in the City of Angels. The Western Conference in the NBA is nothing short of chaotic, and our hometown Rockets are right up there with the best of them. What does the rest of the season look like? Will we find an excuse to spend another 20 minutes arguing about Jalen Green? Do we dare bring up Afghanistan's win over England and the ICC Champions Trophy? If you're not on the edge of your seat after all that, then I don't know what I can do for you. So let's roll the music and talk some ball.
Talk some ball.
This is K-True on 96.1, KTRU, LP, Houston, and streaming live on your phone and on the web at ktru.org. Back to you, Ian.
Morning, Houston. I'm Ian Kleppinger, and welcome back to Against the Grain on K-True 96.1 FM, the Rice University student-run radio show where we break down everything going on in the world of Rice athletics and the broader sports scene from across the city of Houston. You can listen to us every Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on K-True 96.1 FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for K-True Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, make sure and follow us at ktrue.sports on Instagram and at ktruesports on TikTok. We've always got exciting stuff in the works, and we don't want you to miss out. If you have a question for us, DM us on either of those platforms or drop a note to ktruesports@gmail.com. That's ktrusports@gmail.com. All lowercase, we want to know what you want to know so we can answer it on the air. Throughout the next hour, you will be hearing from a whole team of student hosts. I'll be getting us started with our first segment, Around the Hedges. Here at Rice University, it is common to say that the greater city of Houston is beyond the hedges. So to start off each episode of Against the Grain, we go around the hedges for a quick review of the biggest sports moments of the past week from both Rice and the city of Houston. And the garden is stacked. We have a lot of hedges to go around this Friday afternoon or Saturday morning for you folks listening. To start off, big news in the Rice Athletic Department. The Rice women's swimming and diving team won the American Athletic Conference Championship this past week. Their first conference championship since 2013-14, when we were in Conference USA, was the most points ever scored by an Owls team in a conference championship with 1,475.5. If you're a swimmer and you know what that means, kudos to you. Ella Dyson, Ava Portello, and Amelia Kane started us off by finishing first, second, and third in the 1650 free, which I believe was the first event of the championship, or the first final, I should say. Ava Hamblett won the 200-meter backstroke. Ariel Hyon won the 200-meter butterfly. And Ava Portello went on to win AAC Freshman of the Year in the honors after the tournament. There was drama for the conference championship. The Owls barely edged out the Panthers of Florida International in points. They beat North Texas by 0.24 seconds. In the final 4x1 relay of the day. If they had not done that, they would not have had enough points to edge out the FIU for the conference title. Their season is not over. They are back in action this week at the Last Chance meet at Texas A&M. That may be ongoing as you're listening to this right now. That's going on over the entire course this weekend in College Station. And after that, it's called the Last Chance meet because it's their last chance to qualify for later tournaments in March, most notably the NCAA Championship. So stay tuned to see what the Owls are doing in the pool. Heading over to the hardwood, the Rice women are still keeping themselves in the hunt in the American. They lost to UTSA by 2, even though Dominic Ennis had 21 points, but then they came back and absolutely smoked the Blazers of UAB, 73-48. Victoria Flores had 23 points and 6 rebounds. Ennis had 10 points, 10 rebounds, and 2 blocks. Nice double-double, nice back-to-back game performance from her. Their final two games of the season are Friday, which is tonight, the night we're recording this, at 6 p.m. at Temple. That game will be over by the time you listen to this on Saturday morning. And then their final game and senior night is Tuesday, March 4th at Tudor Fieldhouse. They're playing the Mean Green of North Texas at 7 o'clock. Right now they are 14-14. They are 7-9 in the conference, which puts them 8th in the AAC. Tulane and Tulsa are both tied for 6th, so the next spot ahead of them. Both those teams are 9-7, so they're 2 games back from 6th, which is where they were last year when they went on their run. They have 2 games left, and they have 2 teams ahead of them that could possibly lose 2 games to get them a slightly better seat in the conference championship tournament. But keep an eye on the Owl Women. You never know what can happen in college basketball. On the men's side of basketball, they had a nice game, beat Tulsa by 21. Trey Broadnax had 16. Then they went at number 18, Memphis. Very tough game there. Dropped that one 84-72. Caden Powell had a nice game with 19 points and 7 rebounds. They also have 2 games left. Their final road game is in San Antonio against the Roadrunners on Sunday at 5 p.m. And then senior night will be Thursday, March 6th versus Wichita State at 7 p.m. on ESPN+. Keep an eye on the Owlmen to see how they finish out the season. Moving over to tennis. Women's tennis had a nice match this past week. They beat Kansas State in Manhattan 4-1, knocking off another Big 12 or Power 5 school. They've done that a few times already. Our women's tennis team has. Francesca Maguina and Sara Arav won 6-1. Divna Ratkovic won 6-0-6-3. Daria Schwartzman won an absolute back-and-forth match, 6-0-5-7-6-4. And Fernanda Martinez clinched the win for Rice by winning two close sets, 6-4-6-4. Their next game, they are playing right now, actually, against UNLV as we record this. And after that, their next match is on Sunday at 11. They are home versus the Bulldogs of Louisiana Tech. Make sure to stay tuned to Rice Women's Tennis. They are on absolute tear. One more thing I want to mention. Rice baseball season has officially started. We've mentioned it a little bit on the show. Their past weekend series versus USC, they went 1-1. The Saturday game was rained out, and they won by one run on Sunday after, I believe, they had some debacle bringing in someone from the outfield to pitch and lost their DH spot. So a relief pitcher ended up taking an at-bat and getting a walk. But they still managed to win the game in spite of that. They then lost to Arizona on Wednesday in a close game. And this weekend, they are at the newly renamed Dakin Park, which you may know as Minute Maid Park, taking on Tennessee, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M, I believe, in that order. So prayers up for Owl baseball. They might need it. We are now going to kick it to talk about the final thing going on in Houston sports. That might be the Rockets and the broader NBA scene. We have a whole slew of people ready to go dive deep into that for you all. Gentlemen, take it away.
Ian, thank you again. It is time for a little bit of basketball talk. If you're in your car, if you're running, whatever you're doing, and you hear this voice, you may say, I haven't heard this voice in a couple of weeks. It sounds like this person's been gone. I don't know why you were even listening to the show when I was gone, but I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. I'm Garrett Lowe, joined by Julian Puerto, Andrew Fox, and the one and only David Coronado for a little bit of basketball talk. First, why don't we talk about the trade deadline a little bit, where the Rockets did a whole lot of nothing, per usual. David, to you, who was the biggest winner of this trade deadline?
I mean, who else am I going to say but the LA Lakers getting Luka Doncic? Like, there's nothing more to talk about from there. This is an MVP caliber sided with one of the greatest player of all time, LeBron James. And it is.
We have four LeBron fans on the segment. Yeah. This was not planned.
LeBron truthers, actually.
Yeah. Mm. We have four people with their eyes open, is what you meant to say. But yeah, outside of the Luka trade, I mean, that's obvious. It's so clear that that was just the worst trade, maybe in NBA history. I think we're probably going to end up talking about this later, but I want to focus on some of the other moves, some of the other teams that made improvements on the margins. Maybe I'd say the Warriors are one of those, not necessarily on the margins, because Butler over Wiggins is a huge upgrade, but Fox, what do you see the Warriors looking like for the rest of the year with Jimmy?
Yeah, I definitely think they're going to be better. I think having Jimmy Butler does take a little bit of offensive pressure off Curry, even though he did just drop 56 while Jimmy Butler scored 6 points. I think the fact that Jimmy Butler can be like a primary ball handler if they need him to, and he can score, especially in the mid-range, maybe getting to the bucket, maybe not a great shooter, but I think it does just provide a load off of Curry some nights where he's not going to have to go superhuman to give the Warriors every single win. I think this might be enough to take them out of a play-in spot, looking towards the playoffs, maybe get them to like a 5 or 6 seed by the time the playoffs start. So it was definitely a positive move for them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Jimmy pretty much shores up, like, the Warriors' biggest weakness, like, historically, which is getting to the free throw line. Like, just their style of play. You see the Warriors every year being, like, average to below average of free throw attempts per game. Jimmy's one of the best players in the league at getting to the line. He draws a lot of fouls. He gets to the rim when he wants to. So I think this is, like, a perfect fit chemistry-wise with Curry and the way the Warriors play as a whole.
Yeah, and I think adding him in also really helps them defensively with him, Draymond, Kevon Looney.
Yeah.
Again, taking a little bit of pressure off Curry to have to do everything on the floor at all times.
Yeah. All right, next move we want to talk about. We got Kyle Kuzma to the Bucks. They ship off the legend, the real Batman, Chris Middleton, to the Wizards, banishing him and bringing in another mid, almost 30-year-old Kuzma. Any thoughts on this move?
The reality is that this team is all about Giannis. Frankly, Kyle Kuzma is not going to move the needle in a conference that already has the Celtics dominating basketball on that side of the league. Yes, it's a nice piece to help out Giannis and those boys over there. But I think that window for them, you know, it's never really shut, like shut completely closed. I don't know what I'm trying to say here. But it's not closed completely for the Bucks. But with the rise of other stars and teams in the Eastern Conference, it seems like it would have to be sort of a Giannis carry job. So to be honest, not one that totally moves me or any of us here at K-True Sports, to be honest.
I don't. Yeah. Does anyone want to take up for Kyle Kuzma the Bucks?
Nah, I mean, Chris Middleton may look like a fish, but he is a bucket, and Kyle Kuzma is so inefficient, and he has been his whole career. Like, I think it's a downgrade, to be honest.
Once a wizard, always a wizard.
If you could become Chris Middleton right now, but you had to look like Chris Middleton, would you?
No, wow. I would be doing because Chris Middleton is like low key a franchise legend of the Bucks. Like,
I don't know, Fox. If I were you, I would have taken that offer, bro.
Oh my god. All right. The biggest move outside of that was obviously De'Aaron Fox to the Spurs. To me, I thought this was going to be like a huge needle mover, something that could have allowed the Spurs to get out of the play-in. But then obviously
Wemby out for the year. Hope he's all right, though. Apparently it's pretty serious. The blood clot issue, right?
Yeah. Same thing that took Chris Bosh out.
Yeah. Should be, you know, hopefully Wemby can come back from that. He is one of the bright stars in this league. But yeah, unfortunate timing for the Spurs, who were hoping to make some sort of playoff push. But yeah, no, it's pretty hopeless now, really.
Yeah, I would say so. And then to me, the biggest move of the deadline on the margins, the biggest role player trade, was sending DeAndre Hunter to the Cavaliers. Now, a lot of Hawks fans might not be big DeAndre Hunter people, given that they drafted him fourth overall and he wasn't really what they expected. But the Cavs are bringing in DeAndre Hunter, a 6'8", good like offensive fourth option maybe. Not a great defender, but should have all the physical attributes to be decent. And they're bringing him in to be their fifth best starter or even come off the bench, considering they have Isaac Okoro. To me, this is a great move. And this is a move that solidifies them as the best team in the East.
Ooh.
I would have to agree. I feel like having him potentially even off the bench is a really great option. Like, I feel like you can alternate him in and out of the starting lineup. If you don't necessarily need his scoring off the bench, you can keep him starting and have Okoro coming off the bench. But maybe if Ty Jerome goes a little bit cold, because he's kind of been on a heater recently, you can bring him off the bench and kind of be that sixth man. So honestly, I think it does a lot for them. I think just because the Cavs might not have like an MVP caliber player, it's really important to have depth in your scoring and have guys you can bring off the bench that are successful. And this does a lot for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest problem that this Cavs team has had historically is just they haven't had those like solid, like not necessarily star guys, but wings who can defend and can score. And just DeAndre Hunter does both of those things. And like having that depth, having that just consistent performance out of a guy like him will be incredibly valuable in the playoffs. When you're just needing guys to be able to make those open shots off of Donovan Mitchell, off of Evan Mobley being able to create.
Yeah, David, I don't know if you have the numbers pulled up. Do you know what DeAndre Hunter has been shooting since he got to the Cavaliers?
50, 57, 81 splits. Just immaculate.
57% from three for DeAndre Hunter since getting to the Cavs. He's averaging 14 a game. And you're adding this on top of Donovan Mitchell, who's going to give you 25 a night in the playoffs. Darius Garland, who's 20 to 25. Evan Mobley, who's added a three-point shot this year. The volume still isn't where the Cavs probably want it to be, but it's getting up there. And Jared Allen, who's another solid lob threat, has a couple of decent post moves and can give you like 12 to 15 a night in the playoffs.
Oh. So, yeah, let's put this in context then. Like, when you're comparing them to the Celtics, is this a difference maker? Like, how much are you valuing the Celtics' previous playoff experience? What do you guys think about that?
I think we fall into the trap of recency bias all too often when it comes to the NBA. Every single year, whenever a team wins the finals and then next year they show signs of regression, they show signs of being worse than the year before, we dismiss it because we say, hey, we just saw this team win the title. Who cares that, you know, Jrue Holiday is shooting horribly this year compared to last year? Who cares that Al Horford is 38 years old, about to turn 39, and he looks like it too? They just won the title. They have all this wing depth still. They still have Peyton Pritchard. But you have to look at these signs of regression. It was the same thing for the Nuggets last year. We saw them clearly being a worse team in the regular season. And people all wrote that off saying, hey, in the playoffs, Jokic is going to turn it on. It doesn't matter. They get bounced by the Timberwolves, who then got smacked by the Mavs. Nuggets were not even close to a contender. Same thing with the Warriors. A lot of people thought they were going to go back-to-back in 2023. They got dunked on by LeBron in the second round. The Bucks in 2022, after coming off a title, they lost in what? First or second round?
Well, yeah, there's been a different like champion like for each of the past like few years now, right? It's a very – that's one of the cool things about the NBA. It's been a super even league and really like you're right, like the recency bias hasn't really proven right at all in the past couple years. And I think we're probably primed for a different, you know, champion this year as well because of the Celtics regression.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, I don't see – I think they could get out of the East, obviously. Like, if they played the Cavs in a series today, I would think it goes to 6 or 7 for sure. But just like what I talked about, like, Drew and Al Horford have been shooting, like, horribly this year. Drew Holiday was, I think, like, 50% from the corner on threes last year. He's down to, like, a normal 35%. Al Horford is down to, like, 34% as well compared to being, like, above 40 last year. Like, the Celtics' recipe was that they had, like, four guys who could create off the dribble, penetrate the defense, and then kick out to all five guys who can shoot. This year, like, that's just not the same recipe. Like, if they expect Peyton Pritchard to be doing that in a playoff series, I just don't really think it's going to happen.
Mid player, anyways.
Yeah, and I think especially in the East, if you look at the Celtics' fall-off, it seems like in all the ways they're dropping off, the Cavs are kind of coming up. Like, we've seen Darius Garland coming back from his broken jaw, which is both a terrible, like, physical injury, but also mentally. Like, he was, like, eating through a straw for a long time, and, like, he lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And now he's back to being a flamethrower from deep. If Donovan Mitchell is having an off night, you can rely on Garland to kind of step up and take control of the offense. And then especially with Evan Mobley's offensive jump, it makes them a really good team. And I think outside of them, and obviously the Celtics, like, you could talk about the Knicks, but for me, not as serious.
Six against, like, contenders.
Yeah, yeah, they don't really beat great teams, and they'll probably all be hurt.
I am interested to see how they look when Mitchell Robinson is back, if they run, like, the two-center lineup. Like, I think that could help out with a lot of their defensive woes that we're seeing right now. But, like, compared to a team like the Cavs, like, I just don't really see them stacking up. And, like, you talked about the Darius Garland jaw thing, like, a lot of people are listening to this like, okay, so what, the Cavs had a great regular season, are having a great regular season. They got smoked by the Celtics last year in the playoffs. Like, Darius Garland was not the same player last year as what we're seeing right now.
And Evan Mobley, not him either, right? Like,
Evan Mobley was all right last year, but, like, this year he's taken, like, 3 threes a game, shooting, like, 37%. Yeah. Like,
he's just improved incredibly as an offensive
player. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it, like, completely changes the way you have to guard this Cavaliers team, especially when you're wanting to play, you know, Mobley and Allen together to get that unreal defense. And then you can also have Mobley space the floor. Like, you don't lose as much on offense when you're putting together a historic defense.
Wait, so in that case, it sounds to me like you're saying the Cavs are basically a lock for the finals. Then
I'm not saying they're a lock, but I'm saying they're my favorite to make it out of the East.
Against who in the West? That's an...
There's only one team in the West.
It's only one.
In my opinion, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, I think this one is pretty clear cut. We're in store for a meet off in the finals. If you don't know what that is, look it up. But the Thunder, to me, are clearly the best team in the West. I mean, David, you watch, like, the Thunder play pretty frequently as a Mavs fan.
Yeah.
You see them a lot. You know, like, this team is a little different.
This team is just so hounding on so many different levels. Like, obviously, you have Shea as your best player, but guys on the other side of it, just like J-Dub and their perimeter defense as being able to just surround people and just like tear into teams, honestly.
Yeah, no. I mean, they're averaging, what, more steals than turnovers this year? Like, no team has ever done that in NBA history.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's guys like Cason Wallace. I mean, Lou Dort is probably the most annoying player. In
Alex Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso.
Menace.
Aaron Wiggins. Like, they'll just take the ball from you. They'll push it in transition. They'll get down the court. They average the most points off turnovers in the entire league.
Yeah.
They also force the most turnovers at over 19 per game, which is honestly a pretty historic rate, especially in today's NBA.
Yeah. I mean, they just have, like, no other team in the league has this much depth when it comes to, like, perimeter players and, like, guard rotation. Like, you have Shea, you have Caruso, you have Dort, you have J-Dub, you have Cason Wallace, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins. Every single guy I just listed is an above-average defender and not a negative player offensively. That is, like, ridiculous that a team is putting together that lineup. Like, we were talking about the Cavs and all the depth they had of, like, Dean Wade, Ty Jerome, Okoro, DeAndre Hunter. I don't really think that, like, comes close.
It doesn't. And it becomes so much more critical in the playoffs when those games slow down, because these are the guys that are getting down to grit and just slowing the game down.
Yeah.
But OKC on the other side of the ball still has a perfectly run offense.
I have some questions about that. I think that's OKC's like biggest weakness to me is like creation. Like when Chet has been out, Shea has had to do almost everything when it comes to like initiating the offense. Like J-Dub this year has taken a huge step defensively, and I think he like put on a little weight to be able to guard like fours and fives now, which they needed when Chet was gone. But, like offensively, like I don't think he's like improved as much as we maybe expected this year, and I don't really trust them to be like a primary ball handler in the playoffs. So it really comes down to like Shea is going to have to initiate like almost everything, and how much like pressure can Chet and J-Dub take off of him in a series.
I think what concerns me about that is Chet's health. He's played 16 games this year, and they're 13-3 with him, 33-8 without him. So obviously in the regular season, they're not really struggling. They're still going to win the games. They have Hartenstein, who they are 33-6 with. He's averaging career high 11 points and 11 rebounds per game. He's playing really well. He gives them a five that they can match up a little bit better with, even though their small ball defense is incredible. But I think if he's not back in the playoffs, you're really going to have to like ask questions about J-Dub's ability to be a primary shot creator when Shea's not on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can do it. And even as a third option, like you're going to need Chet to be a strong second option and J-Dub to be a strong third in order for this team to go all the way.
Yeah. And I also want to throw in like a slight disclaimer. Like these are like, we're talking about like being an option in the finals of like being able to create as the second or third option. Like the Thunder, I think, are going to be fine in the Western Conference playoffs for the most part. Because like the questions we're asking if J-Dub can be your secondary creator. He was an all-star. He's averaging 20 a game. He's, like, hyper-efficient from the field. He's still a dog. It's just a question of, like, is he enough of a dog to do this on a championship stage? So, like, Thunder fans, I'm not, like, trying to dog your team in any sort of way. You are the clear favorite in the West. Unbelievable. You said 33-8
without Shea.
Yeah, that's crazy. Without, like, one of the best defensive players in the league and an elite three-point shooter.
Yeah, I mean, the Thunder definitely look like the favorites.
Yeah.
Unless well, I don't know. You said something earlier, guys, about being LeBron truthers. And last time I checked, Garrett's boyfriend Luka Doncic got traded to the Los Angeles Lakers, and I don't know. Are they undefeated with Luka so far? The Los Angeles Lakers? They may not be, but guess what? They're going to look to build on just having basically two of the best players in the league on the same team, and people were concerned about the defense. What are you going to do without AD? Defense has been all right. Defense has been pretty good. I don't know. I'm a man of perspective, a man of objectivity, and who is the GOAT, objectively speaking? LeBron James. And LeBron James now has Luka Doncic, Jackson Hayes, future Hall of Famer, and the Lakers are going to really push the Thunder and anybody who comes across their path in the NBA playoffs. Sorry, Rockets. It doesn't matter. Chicken Nuggets, McNuggets, Denver Nuggets, Lakers in five.
Not a single element of basketball talk was in that.
I mean, it's an
narrative.
Lakers versus Cavs, too, in the LeBron revenge game.
That would actually be sick. That'd be tough. But Donovan Mitchell would be laying the meat all over the Lakers in that series. All right, we're talking about the Lakers have been great the last couple weeks. They've been like 8-2 in their last 10. Let me mention a couple of teams they've beaten in that stretch. The Wizards once, the Clippers once, the Jazz twice. They played the Hornets and lost in that stretch, which is nasty work. And then another win against LaMelo the Trailblazers. And a win against the Mavericks with no AD, Lively, or Gafford. It's not like they're playing a bunch of world beaters.
They beat the Nuggets with everybody. They blew them out by like 20 points, bro.
I don't think this is a problem unique to the Lakers, though. Like, we saw the Nuggets, I think it was over the last 2 weeks, they were on like a 9-game win streak at one point. But then it's always like these teams, the Nuggets, the Grizzlies, the Rockets, like they're just going to beat up on the bad teams. But if you like compare them to what I feel like are the more serious teams in the league, like the Thunder, the Celtics, the Cavs, like they're pretty much getting rolled every time. So I feel like in the West, a lot of these teams will get hot at times when they have an easier schedule. They'll kind of fluctuate up and down in the standings when that happens. But if you're going into the postseason and you're like, who am I taking in a 7-game series, I would probably have the Thunder one, and then probably the Lakers too, just because having LeBron
that's
and Luka.
Crazy.
I mean, the Grizzlies do not move at all.
Luka and LeBron, man.
That's great. Okay,
it's stars,
Jackson
stars
Hayes is your starting center.
Luka and LeBron. We've seen Luka carry teams in the playoffs. It's not like this is unseen, man. LeBron is the greatest player of all time.
Okay.
If you have Luka run the offense for like the majority of the game, LeBron comes into the fourth quarter and you're done. It's over.
Bro,
it's literally
Jackson
over.
Jackson Hayes guarding Nikola Jokic in a 7-game
They beat him by 20 the other day.
Bro, it's one game in the regular season. Luka was on a bad stretch. Nikola said, hey, have this one, brother.
All right.
JJ Redick is no Darvin Ham, though. He can actually.
Exactly.
He does. True.
Couldn't I say, look, Andrew you mentioned the strength of opponents. Yeah, the strength of opponents has not been great for the Lakers, you know, while Luka's just been there. But you could argue that if they were starting off with some of the best teams in the league, you know, that would not have been, you know, we forget that players need to adjust to new systems. You know, Luka, obviously, that was, mentally speaking, that was a big trade.
I mean, that's so another reason why they're going to struggle in the playoffs this year, I think. Like,
well, starting off with, like, the bottom feeders of the league is just going to help them build momentum to the point where you can, you know, when you feel confident going up against the stronger teams, that's a real thing.
I mean, mid-season trades, like, you almost never see a team who has a star mid-season end up, like, winning a title or
it wasn't Luka,
deep
bro.
Playoff run.
It wasn't LeBron and it wasn't Luka.
Okay, well, we can talk about, like,
this is true.
The Mavs added Kyrie mid-season, like, 2 years
bro,
ago.
Do not
didn't
compare Kyrie
playoffs.
To Luka Doncic, bro.
Okay, well,
do
but
not.
The issue is, like, the issues are, like, there.
That's
and they're real. Like, I know they've been playing well, but, like, Jackson Hayes is your starting center in the West. If he's, like, having to guard Chet Holmgren or Jokic in a 7-game series, like, he's just going to get fried. Like, I know LeBron and Luka and Reeves is, like, an insane offensive trio. And Reeves is probably one of the best, like, third options in the league now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you're going to get cooked in the playoffs on the defensive end.
All right.
I'm sorry. Like, LeBron is not going to be able to sustain this defensive pace. Luka's going to have to carry a large load. And then you're going to have to rely on Dorian Finney-Smith and Jackson Hayes to clean up at the rim when their guys get cooked on the perimeter. Like,
okay,
how is that going to work?
Maybe, maybe we see the return of LeBron at the five.
All right. Okay, before we get to awards very quickly, would you at least take, is it unreasonable to say Lakers to the Western Conference Finals?
No, that's not unreasonable. I mean, if they get the right matchups, that's possible.
Yeah.
Like, if they see the Thunder, they're losing.
Yeah.
If they see the Nuggets, I would take the Nuggets right now.
Let's say 50-50.
I mean, even if they see the Timberwolves, like, I think that's a close series right now.
What?
Rudy Gobert is going to 40-bomb Jackson Hayes.
Oh, I promise you, he figures it out.
All right.
Okay. Let's get off this topic. I just mentioned him, Nikola Goat Jokic. Let's talk a little bit about the MVP race this year. Do we have any Shea Truthers in the room?
I'm not even a Shea Truther. I'm just a Jokic hater.
Nah.
He's played any defense.
That is insane.
He's been
robbing
his MVPs from my goat, Giannis Akumpo, the alphabet.
Oh my
God. Akumpo. He's been deserving all these MVPs. You know, he should have three-peated MVP. He should have 5 MVP.
I don't care.
Bay used to be believable.
Jokic should have three-peated instead
of
Embiid's broken.
Embiid's MVP was one of the most ridiculous in recent memory.
It was so handed to him.
It was.
I think the voter fatigue needs to stop. I mean, Jokic has been carrying, like, the Nuggets. Or not carrying, but he's been the figure of the Nuggets for so many years.
He has been carrying.
Jamal
Murray at the start of this year was playing like an 8th grader, bro. That dude was a certified bum, and it was Jokic making Russell Westbrook make it look like it was 2017 again. Let me just read off a couple of Jokic numbers for you this season. He's averaging 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 10 assists, shooting 58% from the field, 45% from three, and 82% from the free throw line. He's averaging a 30-point triple-double in almost 50-40-90 efficiency. His team is 38-21. Shea could not hold a candle to Jokic. He is not even close.
Yeah.
There is no case to be made, bro.
He's also not a free, you know, a free throw merchant like Shea is. So.
True. Ethical hoops.
Ethical hoopers.
Exactly.
All right. Sorry, Fox. I think it's clear. MVP against the grain. We're picking Jokic 10 times out of 10. What about Depoy with your glorious king, Victor Wembanyama, out? Who you got, Fox?
I'll just mix it up, say something a little bit, you know, against the grain, you could say. I'll go Dyson Daniels, guard, averaging 3 steals per game. Honestly, incredible. We haven't seen that in a very, very long time. You can talk about guys like Jaren Jackson Jr., who I think is, again, kind of a Mickey defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
Evan Mobley, a really good defender, but, like, if there's not someone that's, like, generational protecting the rim, I say we should just give it to a guard that's having a real standout season. I mean, this is how Marcus Smart fraudulently won Defensive Player of the Year. But there's no Rudy Gobert playing at that level right now. So, in my opinion, just give it to Dyson Daniels.
I like Dyson Daniels. He's averaging 6 deflections a year, or 6 deflections a game, leading the league by a mile. Absolutely insane. Evan Mobley's just a dog, bro. Come on. I mean, the Cavs' defensive rating is 107 with him on the court. He's averaging 1.6 blocks and a steal. He is so good, man. When Jared Allen is on the court and he gets to roam as in like the Giannis role, basically, of like what they do with him and Brooke Lopez, it's just lethal. Like, I don't know how you score in the paint on that offense with both of them on the floor. And then he can switch onto like guards at times too, mm-hmm. like in spots. Like, Mobley is just such a good defender. Like, the numbers back it up. The Cavs defensive rating is unreal with him on the floor and like pretty mid with him off the floor. I just don't really see how you don't give it to Evan Mobley despite Dyson Daniels' greatness.
Yeah. And then very quickly, Rookie of the Year, if we had to just give one name.
They're all nobodies.
Yeah, it's yeah.
This draft class is so bad.
Stephon Castle.
Don't sleep on Reed Shepard.
He's not playing.
He hasn't. He has not played.
He's in the G League. Yeah. Rookie of the Year class is pretty trash.
Any final thoughts from the gentlemen? Lakers in 5, right?
All right, buddy.
There we go. And now we move on to the next part of our show. I'm going to pass it on to Chloe for the promo.
All right. Thank you, Julian. So first, we have our PSA. Flooding in the greater Houston area is one of the largest threats to the health of our communities. Peak flows in the region's streams have been increasing over the past 30 years, while continued sand mining along the San Jacinto River and construction near local streams is lowering the water quality in Lake Houston. And if kept on their present trajectory, these construction patterns and practices will only lead to more frequent and more dangerous floods. The Bayou Land Conservancy works to preserve our local floodplains and natural landscapes, which is critical to reducing flood risks across Houston. Since 1996, the Bayou Land Conservancy has protected 14,187 acres of precious green space at 63 preserves across the Houston region. Visit BayouLandConservancy.org to find volunteer opportunities and more ways to help protect land along streams for the future health of Houston as a whole. And now for our promotion. Whether you're lounging on the back porch, soaking in the early morning of a lazy day, or embarking on your daily commute to work, it's always a good time for jazz. Featuring artists from all countries, Hot Coffee, Cool Breeze is the snazziest and jazziest show on K-True that plays bebop, swing, avant-garde, and everything in between. This Wednesday, do yourself a favor, grab a cup of Joe, sit back, relax, and savor the sweet sounds of jazz on Hot Coffee, Cool Breeze, every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. And with that, I will hand it off to Ian for our game.
Thank you, Chloe, and welcome back, iPad kids, to the sports brain rot you've all been waiting for. It is the third edition of our epic Guess My Player rivalry. For those who may not know, Guess My Player is a sports variant of games that you might be familiar with, like Guess Who and 20 Questions. Our two players take turns asking each other yes or no questions and attempt to narrow down their options, as the first one to correctly identify their opponent's player is our winner. Our contestants today are Mr. Andrew Fox and Mr. Garrett Love. They are no stranger to one another. Their first bout came on December 5th, 2024, when an NBA edition of Guess My Player ran 17 questions deep before both contestants guessed correctly, ending the match in a tie. They faced off again on January 24th in an NFL playoffs edition. In a heated battle of grit, wit, and trash talk, the two tied once again, both correctly guessing after just 7 questions. Garrett made quick work of Devonta Smith, and Andrew narrowly avoided defeat by pulling Austin Eckler out of thin air using only the fact that Garrett's player was a Commanders player who frequently runs the ball, which is at best a 1-in-3 chance. Today, we attempt to crown our ultimate champion between the two stars. So, we need to decide who's going to go first, because I was going to bring a coin and I forgot.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because we do, yeah.
It doesn't matter.
All right,
Fox, you're Mickey. I'll start off with a guess.
All right.
I want to get right into it.
Okay, wait, just because we didn't clarify, are we doing NBA?
Yeah, we're doing NBA.
Okay. All right, so we're doing NBA Guess My Player. Garrett, have a question.
I've been waiting for this one. is your player in the Western Conference or Eastern Conference?
That's not... Okay.
Oh, Eastern. Is it in the West?
East. Okay. Right. Is your player in the Western Conference?
Yes. Did your player make the playoffs last year?
Yes. Does your player play in the Northwest Division?
Bro, asking me divisions? No. All right. Was your player a top 4 seed last year?
Yes.
You want to fact check that real quick?
Sure, I'll fact check.
Who was it? It was the Cavs, the Bucks, the Celtics, and...
Yes, my player was a top 4 seed.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, so easy.
Oh, no. Is your player in the Pacific Division?
No.
Oh, my God.
Bro, oh, buddy. So I have a Celtic, a Nick, a Buck, or a Cav. Okay. Is my player a guard?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Does your player play in Texas?
Yes. That's a good question.
Good pull from Fox.
I like that question.
So both of our players have it down to a couple teams now. Mm-hmm. This is getting interesting. Keep it going, Joel.
Was your player an all-star ever?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Does your player play for your favorite team, Poverty Mavericks?
No. Okay, so Celtic, Nick, Buck, or Cav, we're talking about a forward or a center, and he has been an all-star. Is my player 6'10 or taller?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. We are narrowing in.
Is your player a guard?
No.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy. 6'10 all-star.
I'm in trouble here.
Okay, it can't be Mikal Bridges or OG Anunoby. It could be a Celtic. Tatum is not 6'10, so it could be Tingus Pingus. Could be Giannis, or it could be Mobley or Allen. It's one of those four. Am I a Cleveland Cavalier?
No.
Okay.
Okay.
Why'd you have to think about that?
I was just thinking. Just want to make sure I give you the right answer. Okay, so I've never played.
I'm noticing.
He's either on the Rockets or the Spurs. He's not a guard. Is your player a forward?
Is it a forward? Yes.
Okay.
It is a forward. All right, I'm not a Cav, so I'm a Celtic, Nick, or Buck. 6'10 or taller, and an all-star. I mean, do I just let your favorite player fly? Am I Giannis?
No.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't get the team going here. Is your player on the Spurs?
Yes.
Okay. So, forward on the Spurs. Okay.
So, Garrett knows Andrew's player is not a Cav and not Giannis was on one of those four teams that he's mentioning for a while and is over 6'10". So, he rattled off just a couple names he has it down to. Andrew now has it down to only forwards on the Spurs. So, they both have a very small number of options left.
I mean, it's got to be Tingus. Is it Porzingis?
It's not Tingus Pingus.
Bro, who is
this? Okay.
This guy is cheating.
Here, I'm not gonna lie. I think you're cooked, bro. Does your player frequently turn up with goofy haircuts?
Let me do a quick Google search.
Does she look like an ice cream cone?
No. You don't look like an ice cream cone.
That's crazy. Does not look like an ice cream cone. Direct quote. Bro. Right here first, folks.
Is your player Al Horford?
No.
Bro!
Garrett, is your player Keldon Johnson?
No. All right, you're for sure lying, bro.
I'm not lying.
It's been an all-star, and it must be a Celtic, Nick, or Buck.
These are all true.
Okay, and he's 6'10 or taller.
It's true.
Oh, my God, bro. Who else on that? Is Brook Lopez ever an all-star? Oh, I'm trying to read his face right now. He's not giving me anything, bro. He is stone cold. I'm going to send it. Is it Brook Lopez?
Andrew
gets a redemption.
No shot, we tie again. No shot.
Will this be our third consecutive tie?
You are not that guy, pal.
Is your player Devin Vassell?
Nope.
No!
Garrett,
not
who
today!
Was your player? Who who's the best player?
Hey, give it another guess, young fella. Let me hear you who you think it is.
Uh-oh. I got no idea.
Oh, my
God. Guess I don't know.
It's the one and only Dallas Mavericks legend, Warriors legend, Sacramento Kings legend, Harrison Barnes!
No!
Oh! I picked a player on your favorite team. And I walked in here and just smacked you in the mouth, young fella.
Whoa. Respect the Utah Jazz.
Oh.
Donovan Mitchell.
Oh.
Biggest meme in the NBA. That's my favorite. Let's be serious.
All right. We are headed now to a new little segment design, I believe. We titled it Whose Take Is It Anyway? So we've got a whole group of people ready to break down a whole myriad of sports takes for you. Let's transition over to that.
Thanks, Ian. So we loved our wheel so much from last episode that we decided to bring it back. Today, our wheel will be filled with hot takes submitted from the crew. So we got Garrett, we got Brandon, we got Julian, we got Jakob, and we have yours truly with some takes in the wheel. And to make this incredibly special, we have some special wheel sound effects for today.
Okay.
Which I know is getting everyone extremely pumped, extremely excited. So without further ado, let's give this wheel a spin.
Okay.
You can barely even hear that over us, but that was some special compilation of some Ian wheel sound effects from last week. Just to, you know, set the mood for today. So our first hot take that we got coming up is the retooled Warriors will still be a first round exit.
Ooh.
Or earlier. So first you can guess who submitted the take, and then let's talk about it.
That's got to be Mr. Lowe's take over there in the corner. He's the basketball guy, and I have a feeling he's not a strong believer in the Warriors.
I don't think it was my take.
Ooh.
I'm looking at either Brando or Jacob. Brandon's not a big basketball guy. I'm going to say that is Jacob's take. Am I correct?
Yes, you're correct.
Whoa. Explain yourself, Mr. Lozano.
Yeah.
I don't want to confess I was a rage bait, but I think certainly looking, you guys were saying earlier, you guys are thinking that they're going to narrowly escape the play-in, correct?
Correct.
So we're looking at about
I think the sixth seed.
Yeah.
All right, so if we're looking at a sixth seed, they're probably going to go, like, let's say the Lakers bump up to the third, or the Nuggets stay at third, right? You guys are going to take the Warriors over there?
I take Lakers Nuggets. If we see a Warriors Grizzlies matchup, though, I think Warriors smack the Grizzlies.
I would agree with that.
I feel like this is very matchup.
Jimmy's got that dog in him to combat the Grizzlies, too, right?
Yeah. After he said he didn't want to go to the Grizzlies, there's no way he's going
to be there. I also think there's something to be said, though, just about having playoff, like proven playoff performers on your team. And, like, Curry still got it. He dropped 56 last night. Like,
as a Rockets fan, I would still probably take the Warriors.
Jimmy Butler, like known like playoff.
I think this is like a 50-50 take. Like if they see Nuggets or Lakers, I'm saying Warriors, pack your bags, get ready for Cancun. But if they see the Grizzlies or the Rockets, I can see the Warriors easily making it to the second round.
Yeah.
I like the take.
It's all right. I mean, it's all right, but.
All right. What next?
Okay.
It's pretty spicy. In his prime, Deshaun Watson was the best QB.
It's Julian.
Oh, yeah, it is such Julian.
Oh,
better than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh my God! I mean, his massage numbers were crazy.
Okay, this is a PG show.
I mean,
you're not
him versus
that.
Justin Tucker.
That's a matchup. Okay, obviously, this is probably not, you know, all the way true. If not, it's not all the way true at all. But I just wanted to put some things into perspective for some of y'all in the studio and some of y'all listening. So, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes in their games as starters, Deshaun 25 and 22, Patrick 37-9. Patrick has a Super Bowl and an MVP, maybe two in that time frame. Keep in mind, this is Deshaun in his time with the Texans. So the record is better. Patrick Mahomes, if you probably go online, you can find the better stats. But I do want to put it into perspective. Deshaun's coach for all four of those years was Bill O'Brien. Billy O'Brien has not had a significant job in the NFL since then, except for offensive coordinator for the Jacoby Brissett-led Patriots. Okay. And then you have Hall of Famer Andy Reid. You also have weapons like Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and a wonderful O-line against Deshaun Watson's DeAndre Hopkins. Compare the offensive lines, and then you see that Patrick Mahomes, keep in mind, in the records, Deshaun, 47 games, Patrick, 46. Patrick was sacked 65 times, Deshaun, 155 times. That's over three times a game. 62 sacks taken in one season alone. That was his second year. And Deshaun, in his final season, they did go 4-12, but he had the passing title of 4,800 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks. His main receivers that year were David Johnson, Chad Hansen, and Kiki QT whenever Brandon Cooks was not injured. I'm sorry, those people probably don't even play in the NFL anymore. So just wanted to put it into perspective because we have our Aaron Rodgers with the MVPs. We have other QBs in there. But 100%, Deshaun Watson, in my opinion, was, if not the best quarterback in the league, that's admittedly ridiculous, the second best quarterback in the league, pretty clearly behind Patrick Mahomes. That's my take.
I actually don't think that that's insane. Like, during their primes, obviously, like, head-to-head, you know, they blew that big old lead against the Chiefs.
Was it 24-0? It was. But again, let's remember, it was a Bill O'Brien fake punt on our own, like, 20-something. It was a muffed punt return. Like, that was not all on Deshaun.
I would also argue, though, like, Bill O'Brien getting a lot of hate. Like, he did not tell a Texans fan anything about Bill O'Brien. But like, let's be for real. He built that team from scratch. He was the general manager. Like wow. let's be for real. Like, obviously there were bad moves, like moves in it, but like, I'm just saying historically.
He's part of the team that signed, like, Brock Osweiler to a $72 million contract, bro.
He also drafted Deshaun Watson.
All right, let's focus on Deshaun. Like, Bill O'Brien is a fraud.
Yeah.
Like, but like, even like, look what he's been able to do with Boston College. Like, they're back to being competitive. Like, I know, but like, I'm just saying, like, he has a proven track record.
Even whatever, you could defend him however you want. It's Andy Reid. It's Travis.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that.
Do you guys even know who Chad Hansen is? No, of course nobody knows who that guy is. And that guy was like going for 100 yards multiple games in a season with multiple touchdowns because Deshaun Watson, bro.
I would also argue, though, that, like, does it really even matter at the end of the day?
No, of course it doesn't, because that guy's an absolute, you know, that guy's a joke. You know, I love laughing at Deshaun now, but all I'm saying is pay him his dues while he was in his prime and, you know, before he was getting into trouble.
Yeah, I don't think that's an insane thing to say.
There we go.
It's not ridiculous to say, though.
Well, keeping it with the NFL, our next topic is the Chiefs have reached their peak after winning two Super Bowls in a row.
Okay. I think Julian might have said this, considering he's a certified Chiefs hater. But Brandon's got a little smirk on his face. Was it Brando?
It was a little too easy for me.
It wasn't. It wasn't me.
Oh, Jacob. Oh, no. He's so sneaky.
Yeah. Shout out to Max over here. I know he doesn't want to hear this type of news. But I don't know. They're still, like, projected as the number one team to win the Super Bowl next year, right?
They should.
But I just don't see. I feel like the Bills are going to have to make some sort of move this offseason. The Ravens as well. I think it's going to get a little bit tougher from here on out, especially with the uncertainty of Travis Kelce and Chris Jones.
He said he was coming back a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I think he's coming.
Yeah.
He's not going to be much of an asset.
He's not a star anymore, but, like, I would argue he's still a serviceable, like, tight end. Yeah, like,
Noah Gray is better than him at this point.
All right. That is so cool.
But, like,
Noah Gray is a better
team. If he restructures his contract and isn't taking, like, obviously on his current deal, like, he's a lot to be a role player. But if you're paying him, like, tight end average, like, I have no problem with him coming back.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the Chiefs take, it's a tricky one because I said it during our Super Bowl episode that in the AFC, it's a little different because I feel like the Chiefs sort of have that, for the lack of a better word, aura over the other teams where these teams are afraid to go up against the Chiefs. Ravens, Bills, doesn't really matter. Bengals are the only team, really, but they've got a lot of issues to figure out. They're going to have a great chance at the Super Bowl every year because, like, so long as Mahomes and Reed are there, I think they will always have a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not peak this past year, but, you know, are, like, how many more amazing years are they going to have? Like, at least not for a while. I could see.
I actually kind of disagree. I think the reload might be coming sooner than we think.
Yeah.
Like, you think about the playoff team this year and, like, how hurt they were and, like, how young their receivers are. Like,
how hurt were they?
I mean, Rashee Rice was out.
Yeah.
Missing a couple of defensive players. Like, I think with Rashee Rice healthy and, like, Xavier Worthy operating as the number two wide receiver instead of the number one.
That's a good
like,
point.
That's a much better, like, receiving
That's forward. Scary, man. Rashee Rice and
yeah.
Xavier Worthy.
Like, that's pretty...
Hollywood Brown, yeah.
Hollywood Brown.
If he does anything. DeAndre Hopkins.
That boy's
one. Yeah. Is he? I'm actually... Is Hopkins even still going to be on the Chiefs? Because he was on a one-year deal, so...
No, he'll be gone.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll even be in the NFL.
He tried acting tough, like saying, y'all think I was done? You're done.
No, you
dropped two passes in the Super Bowl.
Honestly, I think that, like, so much of it is, like, kind of like we said, like, right now they are, like, the Bills' boogeyman. Like... you may think, like, oh, you could say, like, you know, calls should have gone the other way in that game, but at the end of the day, they didn't. Like, I think
to happen 4 years in it, like
it's just like it's the ghost of the Chiefs that haunt the Bills. But I honestly kind of disagree. I think part of it this year was I feel like they got very complacent. Like, they kind of were like, oh, we've been here, like, and I think that complacency honestly killed them in the Super Bowl. And that's why they got, like, they didn't just lose, they got rocked.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think there's something to be said about, like, that hunger and, like, that drive to, like, want to be a Super Bowl and not becoming complacent in it. And I think just, like, I honestly think the Eagles, like, obviously they wanted it more bad. But I also think just, like, they kind of fell into a, like, system of just, like, being complacent and, like, doing what they're doing. Like, and I think going into next year, they're going to, you know, change that based on the results of this year.
Yeah, they'll be back. We have time for one more?
I think that's a wrap, folks. But
we'll bring back the wheel. I have some takes there that we
didn't need. Yeah, I was going to say, we didn't get a single one of my takes. Disappointing.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame the wheel. That's all I have to say. So we'll quickly go through some quick hits before hitting predictions. So one that I'm very excited about is UT is now number one in women's basketball. Their coach, Vic Schaefer, is building one incredible resume. At Mississippi State, he took a 14-16 team to back-to-back national championship games and in the process ended UConn's 111-game win streak. And now at Texas, he's been able to elevate them from a solid tournament team to bring them to two Elite Eights and now the number one seed. I think if he can win a title or a few, he has a real case to go down as a top five coach in the sport, alongside Pat Summitt, Tara Vanderveer, I don't think I said that right, Gino Auriemma, and Dawn Staley. Not sure that Texas is the best team this year, but I love Vic, and you got to give him his flowers for what he's been able to accomplish. Julian, you want to talk about Matt Stafford?
Of course. So after all the rumors and shenanigans, Matt Stafford is seemingly finalizing an agreement with the Rams to stay in Los Angeles, per reports on Friday. Stafford was reportedly asking for a new contract worth upwards of $50 million per year, which, if you ask me, seems like a whole lot for next season's Russell Wilson. Many will remember how anticipated Mr. Unlimited move to Denver was, only for him to become the league's biggest punchline, as you just heard. Regardless, Stafford will be looking to continue pushing for a second ring in the blue and yellow. Sorry, Giants and Raiders fans, here is a free Will Howard and Jalen Milroe as compensation. Kelly Hall, Stafford's agent, will finally be able to rest easy seeing her client get his money. Oh, wait. That's literally just his wife. Over to Brandon to talk about Ovechkin and the Gretzky chase.
Yeah, so quickly on Ovechkin. Just 2 years ago, he broke 800 goals. And this season, he's currently scored 30, which is the most, or eighth most in the league, rather. Going from 853 goals to now 883 career goals. He's had four goals in his last game, highlighted by a hat trick versus Edmonton. He's just 11 goals away from Gretzky, which is crazy to think about because even a few years ago, people didn't think he was going to be able to catch him. The Capitals, obviously one of the best teams in hockey right now, and he is now a favorite to break it this season. Next, I'm going to talk quickly about Rice Football's 2025 schedule that just came out today. We're playing the Raging Cajun, U of H, PVAMU, Charlotte, Navy, FAU, UTSA, UConn, Memphis, UAB, North Texas, and USF. I think this is a really interesting schedule. It's pretty easy comparatively to what Rice has had in the last few years. And I think with Coach Abel, like, it actually should be interesting. Just on the fact that a lot of these teams that we played last year that are the same, we should have beat and we lost to. So, yeah, I think we're in for a good season. Now on to
predictions, indeed. We'll make this quick for y'all as we reach the end of our show, but we do have our three matchups for this week. Nuggets versus Celtics on Sunday, Alabama versus Tennessee in college basketball, and USC number 4 against UCLA number 2 in women's basketball. I say we get right on started. With the first game, NBA, I'll take the Celtics over the Nuggets at home. Ian?
I will also take the Celtics at home.
Give me the Celtics.
Celtics on top.
Give me the MVP, the Joker, and the Nuggets.
I'm going to take the Celtics as well.
Okay, we've got Garrett by himself on the Nuggets. Next, we'll do the USC versus UCLA matchup. I will take the higher-ranked UCLA team.
A lot of research there.
I will take Juju Watkins and USC in the crosstown rivalry.
USC got them in the first matchup. I think UCLA gets even here. Give me the Bruins.
Pauly Pavilion's going to be electric. Go Bruins.
Give me the best player in the nation, Juju Watkins and USC.
I think the Bruins get it done.
All right, and then final matchup. We've got Alabama versus Tennessee. I'll take Alabama in this one.
The home court advantage in college basketball is insane. I will take Tennessee.
I also got Tennessee. They're at home and they're just better.
I'm going to follow Ian and his electric atmosphere, and I'm going to go to Tennessee.
So roll tide.
I think we're storming in Tennessee.
All right, and then to finish off the show, we've got our quick underdog picks. Remember, these do not count towards our total, but we get a bonus point if we get them right. I will start with a very bold prediction. I've got Plymouth Argyle over Manchester City in this round of the FA Cup. Plus 2,000, I will look like a genius if this hits. Ian?
I forgot to pick a dog in full transparency. I'm scrolling through odds right now. I think I'm going to take LSU at plus 380 to beat Mississippi State. I know it's a stretch, but they've shown they can do stuff like that occasionally. So I will take the Tigers.
Staying in the SEC, I've got A&M, who's at plus 320, beating Florida in this top 25 matchup.
Right on the 200 mark, I'm going to choose two teams that you guys have probably never heard of, Georgia State Panthers over Georgia Southern Eagles.
Now, I don't usually condone gambling, but if you are close to a phone, a laptop, or any sort of device that connects to the internet, I need you to run to FanDuel Sportsbook right now. Conclave is plus 225 to win Best Picture this weekend at the Oscars. It is the lock of the century. They won the Screen Actors Guild Best Cast and the BAFTA Best Film. Anora is not going to know what hit her. It's Conclave by a million. Conclave to win Best Picture at the Oscars. Love that.
All I could say is Forza Napoli.
Oh my God.
And them to, you know, succeed in putting themselves in a position to win the Serie A.
Good take. And Andrew had to leave us a couple minutes ago, but he took Lille over Dortmund in what I presume is the first leg of the Champions League knockout rounds. Okay, well, that is going to conclude our show today, everyone. You can listen to us every Saturday at 8 a.m. right here on KTRU 96.1 FM, or stream all of our episodes anytime by searching for KTRU Sports on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To stay in the loop, go ahead and follow us at KTRU Sports on Instagram and at KTRU Sports on TikTok. We've always got exciting stuff in the works, and we don't want you to miss out. If you have any questions for the staff, please feel free to DM us on either of those platforms or drop a note to our email, ktruesports@gmail.com. We want to know what you want to know so we can answer it on the air. That is it for our first episode of March, and we will see y'all next time.